We are 99.3 and this is Nigeria Info. Welcome to Wednesday's edition of radio. We hold it to be worthy of note. And I think indeed it is worthy of note to have a replay of my interview with Kunle Olaomi. After that, we're going to go into language and interpretations. So today on language and interpretations, I want to bring a conversation to the fore. It has featured randomly, or would we say passively, in our past conversations, but it's necessary for personal interrogation. I remember, I think it was sometime last year, I asked on the Lords of Logic, who are you? And if you remember that conversation, well, you see, we can say, at least from that conversation, if, say, the people who call the show are our survey group, then 90%+ of people do not even understand what it means. They don't know. And of course, the reason we don't know things is because we don't understand, because it seems as though the moment you get understanding, then you know. In all thy gettings, get understanding. Well, welcome. And this is Wednesday's Unworthy of Note. It's part psychological, but it is dominantly social construct. So given our conversation from last year where I asked you, who are you? And quite a number of people were not even clear. So it seems as though they just made the rules as they went. There wasn't any one particular defining order or, say, creed or maybe belief. I mean, of course, people believe in something, but there isn't any one thing that a person has thoroughly defined him or herself by. And so when I asked what the question was, when I asked, though, so who are you? Many people would say to me, I don't know. And then, of course, some would identify themselves by the things that they like. Well, the things that you like hardly are not you. I mean, they're a feature, but that's not you. And it's for that reason that I think it's worth contemplating a social construct. Yesterday on the show, we also delved into another social phenomena, which is the fact that we have, and I think you think it might be harsh, but I would say it because that's exactly what it is. It's a form of degeneration where we qualify ourselves by a means and not the end. So we qualify ourselves by the means, and money is a means and not the end. We do not qualify ourselves by the end of the thing. So to make money paramount, to make money the god, to make money the objective, to make money the pursuit, to make the actual to make money the highest ideal is a degenerative. And you see, you don't have to agree. Don't worry, in a moment, in about an hour, you would have an opportunity to, you know, submit your disagreement. And I hope your argument is far superior to mine, because only that way can we truly give it to you that maybe your position is really worth contemplating. All right, so it's a degenerative idea, because money in itself is a means. So you use money to buy a car. And it seems as though, for example, from the very act of using money to do something else means that you're aiming for something beyond money. So if you use money to buy a car, you're aiming for happiness. The mother who says to her son, well, office work doesn't pay, Yahoo pays, because it has grace. It's like, well, we need the money to do something. And that's why she, you know, without necessarily saying it explicitly, suggests that he should consider the sort of jobbing that has the grace element to it. All right, so that, and yesterday we can say that we agreed that society has become impoverished mentally, maybe emotionally, maybe also spiritually, and maybe otherwise. We've become impoverished. It seems as though we now exalt money above all else. We would worship a fraudster if he had money. We don't even care that the cover is not the book. It's like we don't even want to open the book. You know, Mary Poppins, the cover is not the book. You must open it to find that the king is a crook. But you don't care that. In fact, it seems as though we know that the king is a crook, but we will worship the crook. Why? Because the crook has money. We throw all our morals away and everything away. And some people might agree, disagree, don't worry. Today on Language and Interpretations, I want us to discuss what makes a man. So when I say what makes a man in this context is referring to the human being. Now, there is what should make a man, then there is what makes the man. So you can choose to approach the question from any line. You can choose to say, this is what should make the man, and man, I mean man, woman. Or you can say, this is what makes the man. And I'm really just trying to broaden the explanation just so that you're at liberty to choose it from any angle that you pretty much feel comfortable with, or maybe any angle that affords you deeper clarity to the subject. That would be in an hour from now. All right. Do I have a WhatsApp message? I hope not, because the conversation really, really hasn't started. Someone is asking, what is this? Politics? Oh, politics is what it is. Smoking Guns. Is This Love by James Arthur? Thank you. I like it when, you know, the songs I love hit me somewhere at the back of my mind. It's like, how about that for a moment? Yeah. James Arthur, Is This Love. I'll play that in a minute. So I'm also waiting for my digital producer to get to me the audio recording just so that I can play that in your hearing. After that, we would. And I know that you... And I think the interesting thing about today's topic on language and interpretations is that I'm going to find out from men in a moment your attempt at trying to define who you are. Now, this is certainly different from the conversation we had on the Lords of Logic. I think here you're going to have to deeply contemplate what has made you you. And that would also mean that you would admit some of the decisions that you've had to disregard to favor another decision, some of the things you've had to do, whether for a lack of courage or for the sake of courage, for the sake of truth or for public validation. You have to interrogate all these things personally to truly give me a good answer. And a good answer is not what I want to hear. A good answer is what you thoroughly understand. All right, off on a break. When we return, I hope that Sam is ready, as I have been ready. 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce. Welcome to Worthy of Note. A beautiful Wednesday afternoon to you. A beautiful Wednesday afternoon to you. We're 99.3. This is Nigeria Info. Nigeria Info, the sunny side, 43 minutes past 12. Now, someone is asking me for the name of the tea. Is Shalon Tea Horsehead? Shalon Tea Horsehead. You got that? You know it? Why are you smiling?
He was like, what?
Oh, yeah. So, Sri Lanka, the country used to be called Shalon. Shalon.
Maybe he reacted to the horse head part.
Oh, okay. So Sri Lanka, before it became Sri Lanka, was Shalon. I think they were colonized by the British. And so the name Shalon was given to them by the British. And so when they got their independence from the British Empire, they became, of course, once you become a free man, then you change your slave name. Yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that I had to say that. Once you become a free man, you change your slave name. So that's exactly what happened. So Shalon is Sri Lanka, and there's a tea grown in Sri Lanka. It's, of course, a certain plant, but the brand name is Horsehead. Horsehead Shalon tea. It's in a yellow pack. Yeah. The flavor is just subtle. It's just pure intended romance. And then, you know, I had to compare it to other black tea brands I've had. And I wonder why life has been that hard in a cup of tea. But of course, some things are subtle, some things are hard. Like my coffee, I couldn't enjoy coffee if it wasn't strong. Like, I just couldn't. And by the way, coffee is two for the show. One for the money, two for the show. Double the punch. Exceedingly high in glory. Oh, black coffee that is, though. I think coffee is unbeaten. And Arabica coffee. Yeah. Black coffee, you can have a little honey in there, a little, but just the natural flavor of Arabica coffee. On coffee is unmatched. You might disagree. Don't worry. Your point don't matter. You know, I was saying that I had wondered when Nigerians would go on their next protest. And I couldn't quite determine when Nigerians would get so desperate enough for a protest. But I know when I will be going on a protest. I would be leading a nationwide protest the day I can no longer afford coffee. Once something happens to coffee, whether it's planting, harvesting, supply, I'm leading a protest. Like, that's really it. That's the one that breaks the back of the camel in my world. Yeah, so Shalonti, Horsehead. All right, we're going to... I think we're almost there. Oh, we're not? We are?
Hallelujah.
Okay, so first of all, you can go on our website, nigeriainfo.fm, for the podcast of The Sunny Side. Past conversations, past gist, past interviews, it's all on our website. Some of you send me, like, plenty of you send me personal messages about... I do sincerely apologize. Sometimes you don't get it as early as it is available. I'll give you Sam's number because that's really the questions he should answer. That's my digital producer, but his hands are full and he really does his best. So please bear with me if you don't get the conversation sometimes as early as you would want them. But otherwise, if you give me a few days, I can certainly promise you that it will be on our website. And now we begin my conversation with retired Commodore Kunle Olawumi, who was on the show and he spoke on security. We would share this conversation with you for... I think about 45 minutes there about, and after that I open up the telephone lines. The conversation with you for Language and Interpretations on Nigeria Info. I'll be right back. My name is Joyce.
This is Worthy of Notes.
We are 99.3. This is... Hold on a second. Why can I not hear myself? Honey, you take it up a little bit. No, this one, the volume. Oh, it's too loud. Okay, thank you. Sounds fair. Hello?
Uh-oh.
All right. Oh, that's too loud. Hello. Okay, that's a lot better. Thank you. This one. Thank you. All right, now 99.3 Nigeria Info. My phone lines are ringing. I'm of the belief that quite a number of you listening think that this is a live conversation. No, it's not. It was an interview that I had about 2 weeks ago. It's a repeat broadcast, and I wanted to play it back for you because I thought it was necessary for you to hear from the perspective of an expert. So my phone line's been ringing, and I'm thinking, wait a second. Maybe I asked you to call that day, but of course, I just wanted you to hear it. I thought that it was a way to revive our consciousness. I don't even think that I'm reviving your consciousness because it's not like you're asleep or unaware to the developments happening in the nation. And retired Commodore Kunle Olawumi was in the studio about a few weeks ago, and we spoke on the issue of insecurity, and he touched on it lightly. You can see the way he managed the conversation. I mean, such a sensitive situation. And I think that Nigerians must understand, moving into 2023, why they have to thoroughly determine the president going forward, the next 4 years, the next 8 years. Like, you must labor in that thought. And without sentiment, make a decision. Some of you can't seem to shake off your sentiments. I'm hoping that you can allow information and political education soar higher than your sentiment. It's beyond necessary, because it does quite appear that what we're dealing with... Someone sent me a message asking me, reminding me that I promised to speak about the prison break, the Kuje situation. And I've thought about it. I am exhausted. You know how it is where it's like I would be telling you what you already know. And maybe you would be telling me what you have said once before. So I thought, between you and I, how about we allow Kunle speak again? And then... Of course, we'll probably do this next week because, of course, I have to go into another conversation right now. And tomorrow is Confessions Thursday and the Lords of Logic. So we are certainly done for the week if we look at our timetable. But of course, our political conversations will return next week. I just really am out of any other angle to interrogate insecurity from. And please bear with me that it didn't happen this week, as I earlier promised, speaking about the prison break. And how in God's name is this happening? So it seems as though you must accept that it happened. Then it's easier to just accept it, and you know, just you have to unfortunately accept defeat in that manner. Likewise, it's like, well, it happened again. Then it would take more energy to thoroughly understand how this is possible, because it should be impossible, not to the degree to which this is possible. It should be difficult, not to the degree to which this has been reoccurrent in the last few years. So yeah, we're going to go off on a break in a short while. When we come back, it's Language and Interpretations. Today on the show, 99.3 Nigeria Info's The Sunny Side. Oh, well, you know my name is Joyce. You don't? Well, nice meeting you. My name's Joyce, and today on Language and Interpretations, we are going to try. And do me a favor, because time is really all that we have. You must move with it. So I'm hoping that you've spent a few moments contemplating what your answer or response would be. We're discussing on Language and Interpretations what makes a man. So, of course, society says, well, you have to grow into something. Your family expects you to grow into something. Your wife expects you to be something. Your husband expects you to be something. Your children, there's an expectation. Your children even expect you to be something. Something not necessarily doctor, lawyer type stuff. No, to embody something besides the work that you do, or the work that allows you express that something that you are. There is who you are. And maybe an easier way to address the issue of who are we would be, what makes a man? Culture or nature? Good. With that said, I think I would like to go off on a short break and maybe have my first caller on the show. We'll be right back.
Information, then it's notable. Objective.
Subjective.
For time.
With time.
On Wednesdays, we hold it to be worthy of notes.
I agree.
Nigeria.
0700 993 993 993 993 and 01465 7190. Hello?
Hello?
Good afternoon to you, the volume of your radio. Welcome. Good afternoon to you. Thank you for calling.
May God bless you for a powerful guest you are bringing to the studio. But I have a question and an observation.
Okay.
The first one, concerning the northern people that are not going to school, you not go to school, and what about federal character? One, whose fault was it? Is it my fault that the another airline did not allow them to go to school? Okay, if you come to Southeast, you can pay through your nose before you go to school. That the South will give them free education. So what I'm saying is that question, is it my fault? Is it not the other allies? The only thing I want to ask. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, so I did play that interview just so that we revisit not a non-existent conversation, but a conversation that exists, still exists, and we're still in conditions where that conversation seems to, well, thrive. It seems that maybe, of course, we know that the military is doing something. Some people have said they're not doing enough, but whatever the outcome or situation truly is at hand, we're in a situation where the case of insecurity is still prevalent. So I just wanted you to have that interview, listen to that conversation, but we're going to another conversation. We're off on a break. We'll be right back. My name is Joyce. The Sunny Side, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Okay, so of course our conversation on language and interpretation begins. The language is the making of the man, the woman. Are we made by culture or are we made by society? Of course, you can tell me how you think we should be made. But if we understand what makes us, we can understand where the faults are, where the errors are, or where perfection really lies, if you think that there is something like that. Welcome to the show then. The Sunny Side on Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. Welcome. I lost you. Make it back. What makes... So this is it. I think that I might suffer, if I can use the word suffer, the same fate I was confronted by when I did the conversation on Who Are We? I think some people are going to not know how to answer the question because, of course, one, we don't know who we are, or worse, we don't know who we should be. So on the subject of what makes us, how are we supposed to know what makes us if we don't even know what we are? We'll find out. Vaughn, you're colorful today. I like that color imposition. How tall are you? 5'4" or 5. I think I'll give you a 5'5". That would be like you're 3 inches taller. Yeah. You're full taller. You have a presence. You're a matter. You have weight and you occupy space. The sunny side. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Off on a break. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. The sunny side. 2 minutes past 2 p.m. on the clock. My name's Joyce. It's Language and Interpretations. Let's find out what you think makes... So people in society are made up of something, right? Exactly. What are they made up of? What makes them? The culture, their environment, or nature? Nature, that would mean traits that they are born with. Things that are, by colloquial language, falukam. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Look, I want to share one angle with you, and this is, I think, Aristotle, actually. I want to share an Aristotelian angle. How are you nodding? So these things are tongue twisters. Okay. Take that down a little bit. Thank you. Aristotle, legendary Greek philosopher. Man is by nature a social animal, an individual who is unsocial naturally and not accidentally is either beneath our notice or more than human. Wow. Society is something that precedes the human. It would appear that Aristotle makes a case for the nature of man as a formation of society, culture, the environment. But then, of course, if you interrogate other philosophers, you would find those who believe that something outside of society makes the man, or maybe better put, should make the man, and maybe to some degree it would contend with society. So let's hear your view on that. I like the fact that he says an antisocial person is either beneath notice or more than human. Oh wait, there's something about that. So if you are antisocial, two things are around your neck. It's either you are beneath our notice, as you don't come out to play, or maybe you're more than human. Maybe you're half human, half truth, half human, half light, half human, half wizard, half human, half something. Sha. A zero or a unicorn?
Yeah.
A unicorn? Okay, a phoenix, half human, half something that crawls in the earth. Or alien, hey. Half human, half alien. Because if you have alien genes, you don't come out. The sunny side, Nigeria Info, what makes a man? All right. Nigeria Info.
Hello.
Good afternoon to you.
Communicate.
Oh, good to have you here.
Yes, sir. Antisocial can also be half woman, half lion. So concerning the prologue you brought here, human being supposed to follow the law of nature that guides human being. So human being must have to socialize, interact. Are you hearing me?
No, I'm asking a question, and the question is, what makes a man? Is it society, the influences from our society, or is it something else that's not within society or prevailing?
Okay, what makes a man is his culture.
It's the culture.
Language and interaction.
Okay.
That's
right.
What makes a man. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. So it would mean that if we agree with this caller, than what we discussed yesterday on the show, which is people wanting more money than they want a solid human being, is what we have become and what we will be. Nigeria Info, The Sunny Side, What Makes a Man? Language and Interpretations. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Joyce.
Good to have you here. What's your name?
Yeah, you had Lord Igwe Victor.
Good to have you here, Lord Igwe Victor.
How you doing, my sister?
I'm good. Good to have you here. Go ahead. What makes a man? What should make a man? What do you think?
What makes a man is the environment, is the society.
Okay.
I want to go with David Easton.
Okay.
He said that the conscious existence of a man determines his environment. That means... Hello? David Easton, he said that the conscious existence of a man determines his environment. Meaning that we live in an environment that really projects us to what we are. There is what we call natural nature cohesion. If you born a baby and you try to keep the baby in a cage for over 30, 40 years, you feed him, but you don't communicate with him, you don't do anything with him, you just give him food, give him water, and make sure he survives without bringing him out. After 20, 25, 30 years, if you bring him out to the environment, to the society, he will be behaving like an alien. So what makes...
I was going to say something. Your first sentence, the quote you read, what's the first sentence?
You said?
The quote you shared with us, what's the first sentence?
It's a quote from David Easton.
No, so go ahead. What's the quote? What's the quote?
The quote is the conscious existence of a man determines his environment.
Wait there. So now, the way I'm seeing it, it would appear that there is something that is conscious in the man that was first not the environment, and soon after the man became conscious, became the environment. Do you understand?
Yes. Yes.
So it would appear that from the way I understand the quotes you shared, there is something that is in the man that makes the man before he comes in contact with the environment. From your quote. That's how I interpret your quote.
Yes, that is based on adaptability of a man based on his environment.
So
just
I know that story of when you're born a child and you don't allow the child to interact with the environment, but I think we're interpreting the quote differently. To me, the quote sounds like there is something there's consciousness first, there's existence in the child before the child interacts with society or with the environment. So that it sounds as though there's something first in the man before the man comes in contact with society. That's how I interpret the quotes you just shared.
The consciousness in a man or in a child is that cognitive instinct. That is the power, instinct.
But what is the instinct? Because, for example, it's instinctual for the lion to chase another animal, kill, and eat. Yeah? So instincts in the human being, from your quote, might be to love, to cry, to be a good dancer, to be a writer. Like, there's some things latent in the person before the person interacts with society. So from that quote, it is the essence in the person that should make the person, not society.
Yes, but just hold on. If you were born in a place like Afghanistan or Pakistan, you, based on the consciousness of the religion you will be projected to, you may not know or profess Jesus. And if anybody tells you anything about Jesus, you will not say anything about it. But already, you have this cognitive instinct in you that adapts to anything that the society or the environment which you are into has projected you to adapt.
Okay, so
you understand?
I understand you, but can we say something about your Jesus example? Now, I am a child of God not because I was raised in the society, but because I have a personal experience. So this personal experience can be duplicated or could have happened in Iraq or even in China. It could have because it's a personal experience, not a cultural conditioning. That's my faith. That's why I believe. I don't believe because of my conditioning. I believe because of my experience. Can you see the difference?
There must be experience, and something must have led to that experience. So if you were born in China, the experience that you might have based on the environment which you have found yourself might not give you the opportunity to have experience of having experience of Jesus. That, do you understand what I mean?
Well, we might disagree because, for example, there are Christians who have become Muslim for whatever reason. There are Muslims who have become Christians. So I disagree with that. I disagree.
They were changed by the environment because based on the experience on cognition,
no.
cognitive instinct,
no.
they later decided to change based on what the environment has given them.
Okay, so you have an argument when you say environment plays a role. I think I might have a superior argument if I say that an experience. So, for example, someone who was born Muslim, who has who grew up, you know, 30 something a Muslim, and decides, okay, no, let me become a Christian, or vice versa. Usually, it's more than just the environment because his initial environment was maybe Muslim or Christian, and then he got to a certain age and chose against his environment. Can you see that?
That is the environment which actually gives him or her the ability to have experience from the fact that what I believe so number of years is different from what I'm supposed to know. Based on this experience, I want to jettison this idea. I want to jettison this belief. Then I want to go on with this. With this new way of reasoning.
But my position is that the experience must be personal, not collective. That's the difference here.
That is the personal adaptive cognitive instinct I mentioned.
No. When you sleep and you see a dream and the dream tells you to flap your wings and you can fly, if I say to you I don't believe the dream, it doesn't make your dream false. I just don't believe in it because I didn't see it. So that's me trying to explain what a personal experience is. Thank you very much for calling. So, wow. I think you guys are really grateful for Nigeria Info. You've never had it this tough, have you? No, so that's the thing, and I think I'm grateful for the back and the forth. It's like we don't know who we are because we don't know what brought us, what gives us meaning, or what is our identity. And so, on language and interpretation, society expects you to be something. The world expects you to be something. A man of philosophy, faith, or whatever. So what makes us? Is it culture? Is it society? And it's interesting, we spend so much time on that conversation based on a quote that he shared, not something that I shared. Interesting. Nigeria Info. Hello. How are you? Hello.
Hello. Sir. Good afternoon.
Afternoon to you. What's your name? Go ahead.
Yeah. My name is Shina Yangwa.
Go ahead.
So based on the question you asked, what makes a man?
A woman, not just a man, male, but, you know, a human being. What makes the person?
Okay.
Culture
Homo sapiens. No, generally, it's homo. Okay. What makes us is that it's not a... Okay, let me just go like this. If a baby is born as a newborn baby, once the baby was born into this world, the baby started sucking breast. Just, you have not opened eyes, though. Started sucking breast. Once he can introduce breast milk into her mouth or his mouth, he started sucking it. Is it the environment that made that baby to start sucking the breast?
Okay.
It's not the environment. So I think it's natural. It's from the DNA. It's from the gene.
There's an encoding, right? There's an encoding in the man.
Yes. It's inside. It's not even about the environment.
But when we look at the environment today, what has made the humans that we see, culture or nature?
If you look at the environment, you know, okay, let me just go from the Bible side. You know, when Christ...
No, don't go to the Bible side. Stay in Lagos. look around you. No, don't go to the Bible. Look at your environment.
No, I want to bring out something.
Okay.
So, when Christ was on his earthly ministry, people were there was so much crowd. They were making noise. They were shouting. So he was, what do people think I am?
Okay.
He himself, he did not even know who he was.
No, that's not true. That's not true, but go ahead. Uh-huh.
It's not true.
He knew who he was. He was just trying to figure out what they were thinking.
Okay. So he started asking them. People started answering so many questions.
Uh-huh.
You understand? So it's because of how the crowd, what are they talking, some people don't even know who he was,
uh-huh.
and they are following him.
Okay.
So that one, you can say, is the environment.
Uh-huh.
You can say that one is maybe from the environment.
Uh-huh.
You actually want to know who they think he was.
Okay.
So that is an environmental
issue. But you're not finishing your thought. So, but Peter was able to tell him differently from what the crowd said.
Pardon? Hello?
Peter told Jesus what
okay,
he thought.
Yes. And Peter later.
So is Peter environment or something inside of him which will be superior to nature?
Yes.
Thank you for calling. I told her to stay in Lagos. She went to the Bible. What are we supposed to do with that conclusion now? Nigeria Info, the sunny side. Welcome to you.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon to you. Welcome. Tell us your name. You go ahead.
Francis from VX.
Great to have you. Go ahead.
Yes. You know, you are like Nigeria, that God gives so much resources. You have too much brain, Joyce.
You said I'm like, you compared me to Nigeria. You really want a reaction?
Nigeria, God bless this country so much with much, too many mineral resources.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. As you are, your brain is too much, Joyce.
Wait. I know. Don't compare me to Nigeria. Wait, now, come on, man.
Joyce.
No, I get the import, but don't say I'm like Nigeria. That's not even a compliment.
God is... No, Joyce, I'm serious. No, I'm serious, Joyce.
No, that's a false equivalence.
To contend with this, it will take alien to contend with you.
So maybe you shouldn't contend with me as much as you should interact with me.
Joyce.
Thank you for calling.
I owe you a cup of coffee. Right?
All right, sounds like a plan. So that's the thing. If you have an intelligent woman in your life, or you have an intelligent man in your life, or you have a thinker, you have someone who's curious, don't allow your arrogance subject you to contention. It's pointless to contend. Who's bigger than you is bigger than you. So that's not the issue. It's that you can interact with them. And the idea of knowledge is exchange. It's not competition. It's not conquest. It's supposed to be exchange. So the woman can be the smarter person than the guy. He doesn't need feel insecure. You just exchange. She gives you what she has. You give her what you have. You don't hate God because God didn't make you like your wife, right? Exactly. So you exchange what you have and make the best out of life. All right, great. But don't compare me to Nigeria. Come on, son.
Do you have a bottle of Coke?
For what?
He said you have a lot of mineral resources.
Yeah, but so I understand the import. He was trying to practically just underscore how blessed Nigeria is. But you see, the thing with Nigeria is the blessing is not the end part of the story. We haven't utilized our blessings. So compare me with Nigeria, that's a setback. I mean, no. Thank you very much for calling. Please don't. Hi, Nigeria Info. What makes a man? The volume of your radio set. Turn off the volume of your radio set. What's your name?
Yeah, Joyce. My name is Paul.
Welcome, Paul. Nice meeting you. What makes a man?
Yeah. What makes a man is that is partly spiritual, which science describes as nature.
Okay.
And then it works in conjunction with the environment.
Okay.
I can give you an example.
Okay, sure.
I've been opportune to live outside this country before, and the environment contributed a lot. The way I see things, the way I reason things, changed. My behavior changed. You know, because of the environment I found myself, I began to adjust.
Okay.
And live according to the standard of that environment. So that is why I say what makes a man is both spiritual and environment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I agree with that. I agree with that. Now, let me ask another question. Do you think that the man has something inside of him to choose against something?
Something inside of him to choose against something.
Like, so maybe the something can be will. Say, for example, my mom is a very loving, soft person. I'm not. Now, I can choose to not be me and choose to be my mom, for example, meaning that I have agency and a will inside of me to choose against my own natural conditioning. Does a man have that? I just give you an example man has.
Can you break it? Because that will make you... an inferior person to your mom.
Good. So then it means that people in society, by your statement, are inferior because they are probably doing something against their own nature.
No. You are comparing yourself with your mom, not the environment.
Now, I'm saying that I made a comparison to my mom. My mom is soft. She's easygoing. She smiles at the world. She thinks Jesus loves everybody. I don't know.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So my approach to life is different. And yes, Jesus loves someone, but I think some people need to be flogged or punched in the face. So I have a violent tendency. You see that?
That has nothing to do with environment.
Exactly my point. So I'm saying that I can change who I am for something else, right? Because I can. If I'm a wicked person, I can act like a nice person, right?
That is pretense.
Yeah, but I
can't. Man has different version of himself or herself.
So the people,
it depends on the one you want to exhibit at that material time.
So then society, therefore, the society we see today, are men acting by the conditioning of nature or by the, are they acting by nature or are they acting as a function of their choice to interact with the environment?
The first thing is that every human being has a component of nature in him. Then while you are growing up, what you meet in the society during your formative years becomes part of your lifestyle.
Okay. My question is, can a person, for example, choose against that environment, that lifestyle? Can a person choose against it?
Yes. And if you do that, then the society will recognize you as a rebel.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's a good one. Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate. Thank you. So that's a good way to end that one. That was a good submission. Nigeria Info, the sunny side. What makes a man? The volume of your radio set, please. Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, I think they're calling from Ogun State.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Yeah. For the public, although my battery is low. I believe there's instinct in every creation. Are you getting it?
I'm listening.
Whether humans or animals, that make them to behave the way.
Yo, are you at the bus stop or at school? It's really noisy.
Yes, I am inside a school premises.
Okay.
All right, so that makes humans and animals behave the way that they are, even without going through formal or informal training.
Okay.
But I believe that environment plays a very vital role. And research work has shown that those people that grew up in a volatile environment tends to be aggressive.
Yeah.
Now, for instance, I grew up in a very serene and quiet environment that it affected me so much. I'm the type that's very quiet.
Okay.
Loving and peaceful because of my environment. So environment plays a very vital role.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, now, people that grew up in places like you in Akwa Ibom State, they tend to be more moderate than somebody that grew up in Lagos. Are you getting it?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, because of the environment. So environment.
So you're thinking that the environment is a larger determinant. That's what you're saying.
Of course. Thank you very much
for calling. That was noisy. The sunny side. Woo! That was in my head. The sunny side. Good afternoon. Language and interpretation. What makes a man?
Oh, hello, Joyce.
Good afternoon to you. You have a minute and a half, I think. Or two.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
What makes a man is God, or if you want, his creator.
Yeah, so that would be...
the choices.
So that's nature.
The choices.
Now. You're saying like the encoding in the man, which is the nature, what is natural to the man is what makes him?
Yeah, what is made natural in the man, yes.
Okay.
The intent is like... is like, you know, just related to anything that is manufactured. The intent of the manufacturer when they make something.
Yeah.
So they put everything in there. So the intention has to be there. This is what I want this thing to do. I want something that does this.
Okay.
And then they create something that does that thing.
Okay.
Right. Of course, there is an issue of maybe abuse, you know, maybe somebody who gets that thing using it for something else because they didn't read the manual, can't read the manual, don't care to read the manual or whatever, you know,
okay,
but...
good. So in society, so what do you think then makes... So when you look at society today, there's a larger chunk of people by which you can say, well, this is how society behaves. So given what you see in the society today, what makes the men, women in society, culture or nature, what have they succumbed to? Or what are they... Yeah, what is evident by their character or nature?
Well, I think the need to belong.
So would that be society then?
Yeah, the need to belong, even though deep inside of them, they know that this is not them.
So real quick, this therefore can be summarized by saying that this is an act against nature. This is a...
Exactly.
Oh, thank you.
Exactly.
So this is a malfunction against their nature. Thank you very much for calling. Off on the break, we'll be right back. Stay. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. So welcome. This conversation will continue next week. I think it's necessary that I tell you that. I have a message here on WhatsApp. What makes a man is first of all genetics, two environment, three experiences, lastly his choice. Thank you very much. What makes a man, in my supposition, who he is, what he does, and how much he makes. Really? A final message. The spirit of a man makes a man. The spirit is innate. The spirit is inborn. The spirit is nature itself. Others follow. All right. Thank you. So just about a few minutes before, well, a minute before 2:30, the conversation will continue next week. I'm handing over now to Desmond. Next week, we'll talk about what makes a man. You're on the sunny side. My name's Joyce. We're 99.3. This is Nigeria Info.